Well, it's time just to share a bit of our vision for this coming year. We like to do this each year to spend a chance thinking of our big vision, the big goal of glorifying God as we reach out, build up, and send out. To think, how do we do that? Or how are we hoping and prayerfully asking God to do that in the coming year? You should have received one of those booklets on the way in, which tell you the particular kind of ways that we're hoping to meet that. You'll see on the back of the booklet some brief areas of things that we are praying that the Lord's goodness we might be able to do or to look at developing this coming year, but particularly developing our links with the school community and starting a after-school club for Key Stage 2 children at the school, which is going to be starting in half term or after half term. Wonderfully, letters went out on Thursday, and three have already signed up by straight back in on Friday for that. So let's pray that the Lord would use that to be able to share Jesus' love with those children. We've also been discussing at our church council, beginning to discuss senior ministry and how can we be developing that area, both in terms of reaching out and building up those in the congregation and friends and neighbours and family that we have who are in the sort of over 60s. You are senior. That is one of the things, though, isn't it? It's a very different time now, but there's two great opportunities. So, A, you have those for whom what's called the third age, which are those who have lots of time, lots of energy, lots of interests. And then you have what has now been developed, the fourth age, for those, sort of the next stage on, if you like. And to think, how can we reach out to both of those groups will be really key. Building up is what I want to focus on in terms of thinking about membership and then also training. We've been looking at doing this already to some extent with Training Central, but thinking, how can we be reflecting as a church and equipping ourselves to be those who can, particular areas of ministry maybe for music or children's work, to be actually making sure that we are equipping you to be doing those tasks that you're doing, but also in other areas of Christian living as well. Books are a great way of doing that as well. At the back, but to think, how can we be putting on training, making a training available, which will help us, and there's things that we're wanting as a church family to be encouraged and helped in. So again, if you've got areas, particular areas of training or things that practically, how do I live out the Christian life that you would want to be covered in that, please do come and speak to me and let me know about those. But I do want to focus on membership. And this really came out of something we've been thinking about for a few years in terms of how do we help people to become part of the church. So particularly those, we've had some people who've come and then gone, and there's others who've come and maybe sort of sitting here thinking that they're sort of on the edge, if you like, that they want to be more involved but not quite sure how to do it. And that is the aim, really, of thinking through this. So we had a diagram. I've got the little clicker. So where's my little clicker? There we go. So you may remember that diagram, you may not, of the different circles of involvement with the church. So a community is kind of just the world out there, all that surround us. The crowd are those for whom we have some connection, some link, maybe would sort of have some affinity to Christ Church, maybe so when the school, they've come along to carol services and things like that. Then you have the congregation, those who come here on a Sunday, and then also committed or core, sort of in the centre. And when we looked at that beforehand, there were some questions about sort of who is the core? Is this some sort of exclusive kind of inner grouping? And it was reflecting on that, you think, well, actually, that is the membership. That's what it means by the committed. Those who've put their hands up, if you like, and said, we are part of this church, we're committed to it, and committed to seeing it work, to seeing it lived out, life lived out together in it. And so that's where this has really come from. So I just want to spend a bit of time just reminding you or showing you for the first time where the idea of membership comes from. Why do we want to thinking about membership as a church? Then I want to talk through some of the benefits, and then finally just what a membership actually looks like. Well, as we said earlier on, to be a member is essentially to have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're united to him, into his body, into the church. And that is then lived out in the local church, isn't it? That's true of the universal church, of all believers everywhere are united together. But the way we live that out practically is in local congregations, local churches. This is what we are doing here. But throughout the New Testament, the New Testament, as it speaks of the church, it speaks of a group, a body with boundaries. So, for example, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul speaks of the whole church coming together. And so in the sense that them knowing who was going to be there, who is the whole church, to know that they're all there. Or 1 Corinthians 5, again, Paul speaks of those who are in and outside the church. He speaks about his responsibility to those in the church and to not be like those outside the church. So it's clear you're able to distinguish who's in and who is out. It's also spoken of in terms of the relationship between the leaders and the members. So Paul speaks to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, and he tells them, calls on them to care for the whole flock, for all the flock. Well, who is that? Who is it that they have responsibility to go back and to care for? Or in Hebrews 13, it speaks about instructions to me as a pastor and my responsibility to give an account. I will have to give an account before the Lord Jesus Christ for my ministry to those he has given me. Well, who are those he's given me? Who are those that I have responsibility for? It's the members of the church. Also, the words used to describe the church, those wonderful pictures that we're given, all speak of that kind of sense of a distinct group, don't they? So think of it, a body. You know which parts of your body you're attached to and which aren't. If there's an odd leg hanging around, you know it's not yours. Or a family. Again, you know who's part of your family and who isn't. Those are the kind of the images used to show that. And so, so when the Bible speaks about the church, it speaks about there being a clear kind of membership, if you like. We need to be clear to say that it's not therefore something separate or additional to the membership in Christ. It's not that you're a member of the church, if you like, when you become a Christian, but then there's a sort of additional membership. No, what the church does in terms of membership is it identifies those who are already part of the church, those who are trusting in Christ. It's a kind of formal recognition, if you want, an acknowledgement by the rest of the body that you are a believer, that you are a member of Christ's body, and it's a recognition, not an acknowledgement by you, to say that you are committed to the rest of the body. So it's expressing what is true in Christ. So what about the benefits of... what are the benefits of membership? Well, I think that there are four main benefits for us. Firstly, membership affirms our salvation and membership of God's family. It affirms our salvation and membership of God's family. By which I mean, for some of us, we may struggle with doubts about our faith. Am I really a Christian? And the fact that the rest of the church welcomes you as such should be a great encouragement to you. If they're saying you are one of us, then they are saying that you are a believer in Christ. So it's a great assurance and a great reminder of our salvation. To be a member of the church is to be a believer in Christ. So if we are welcoming you as a believer, then we are saying that you are one, whatever you might feel yourself, that you are one of us. Secondly, it confirms our commitment to one another. It confirms our commitment to one another. By becoming a member, we are saying to one another that we are responsible for you and to you. So it's saying, I'm now your responsibility and you are now my responsibility. And it's wonderful to have that level of commitment, isn't it? To have that level of to know that people are looking out for you. To know that people are on your side, that you're not walking the Christian life alone. And it means a lot for you to say that to others too. And I think that's increasingly important in our society today, isn't it? Where actually the mindset is very much more kind of consumers. You come and go, you take what you want. You want the phone contract that you can get out of with straight away, rather than one that ties you in for days, doesn't it? That's our mentality in society. And to be able to say, no, we are committed to one another is really powerful. Thirdly, it clarifies our responsibility to God and to one another in his church. By which I mean, it's easy, isn't it, to get distracted, to maybe lose focus or to become overwhelmed by what we're called to do as Christians. And what being a member does, and having a clear sort of membership covenant in that sense of what we're committing to do, it reminds us of our responsibilities, reminds us of how we are to be living with one another. So we'll see in a moment those responsibilities, but as we're living them out, if we are seeking to be gospel-centered, teachable, growing, prayerful, committed, caring, servant-hearted, generous, witnessing members, if we are seeking to be those people and we're being encouraged to be like that by others, then we know we're on the right track. So it reminds us of our responsibilities, of what it means to be a member of his church. And fourthly, it unites us in the work that the Lord has given us to do. It unites us in the work the Lord has given us to do. So as the church, we are given that task of making disciples of all nations. He says, as he leaves his disciples, he says, go make disciples of all nations. And that is the task that is passed on to all his people. But the membership reminds us that we don't bear that alone. For some of us, that will be utterly overwhelming. But it is not about me. It doesn't depend all on me. It's not about that I go out there alone to make disciples. It is that we're doing it together as a church. But also it means that we're not bystanders. It's not that we're on the, we can just look on. We're in it together. And partners, not passengers, with one another. And I think perhaps one of the final, I've not put it on there, but one of the big things about talking about church membership is it reminds us that we are the church. Because even as we've been doing this in Connect Group and been talking about this in other contexts, it is very easy for me as well as others, when we talk about the church, to sort of talk about it out there. Whether it's the leaders or whether it's kind of this sort of, just this organisation, if you like. But what it is it's the church that is putting kind of requirements on me. or my relationship is that the church is here and I have some sort of relationship with it. But the church is us, one another. So it's not that it is that we are the church. So just think about one area for that, of serving, for example. That we either think of it as we can think of it, can't we, as it's us being asked to do something. There's something, a job that needs to be done, and we're kind of, and the church asks us to do it. But when we see it as membership, we actually see, well, no, this is something that we're doing for the whole family, as part of the family, for the family. It's not a favour to the church, but to those sitting around us, to one another. We do things as the church rather than for the church. So essentially, membership is saying, in the church, God has given me people for me to love, people who love me and want me to love Jesus more. And together, he's given us work for us to do. Okay, so what does it mean to be a member? Well, there are some practical requirements. We have had a membership. It's just really been very low key and essentially been whether you want to vote in the AGM or not. But we do have requirements, and they're good requirements. So we ask for members to be age 16 or over, just so that they're of age and maturity where they can make that decision for themselves. That they're a baptized believer. That is, that they're trusting in Christ and that they've shown that through the sign that the church that Christ has given the church in terms of baptism. That they've been regularly attending for 6 months. Again, it's just a practical thing, isn't it, really, of wisdom, so people don't get sort of want to jump in too early, and also gives them the protection that they don't get caught up and then feel this isn't not the right place for them. So it's just wise to have that time. To agree to our doctrinal statement of faith, which is, again, just a way of showing that you're trusting in the gospel as it's revealed, and then living in a manner consistent with the ethical teaching of the Bible, which, again, is just a living out of the gospel, so that there's not you're a believer who is living in practice with what you believe. So those are the practical requirements, but I think what's more important then is thinking about what the kind of commitments of membership. These are not things you have to do to be a member, but they are what it looks like to be a member. And you'll see them inside the vision booklet that you can take away with you and read through in a bit more detail. But it's eight things that we've said as a follower. That is, first and foremost, it's about following Jesus Christ, seeking to shape your life around his death and resurrection and walking with him and becoming more like him. That is that's what it means to be part of the church, doesn't it? To be a follower of Jesus Christ. To be a learner, that is someone who's listening to and obeying God's word and wants to grow in the love and knowledge of Christ. A member, that is someone who's committed. That as a member, we're saying we are committed to one another, and we show that in our commitments to meeting together regularly and where possible in a small group as well. It's about being prayerful, both individually praying for the church, for the members, for the leaders, for the wider world, but also meeting together as church to pray together. It is being a carer, loving one another, as members of our own family, helping others to grow, being watchful for them, taking care of their needs and sharing their joys and sorrows. It means being a servant, using the gifts that God has given me to build up the body. And it means being a sharer, sharing what God has given me with others to support the work of ministry and to support practically the needs of others. And then finally, to be a witness. prayerfully looking for and hoping to share Christ with those around us, those we know, and longing to see the gospel go out to the nations. So that's what it means to be a member, as I see it, is to be a follower, a learner, a member, a prayer, a carer, a servant, a sharer, and a witness. And I hope as you look through those, there's nothing controversial there. That is simply what it means to be a Christian, isn't it? But the point of membership is we're saying, committing to do that with one another. Okay, finally. What next? Well, if you are already a member, you will be getting a letter at the end on the way out, which sets out a bit more details and has a copy of the membership covenant, which we are encouraging people to sign and to bring back next week. The membership covenant is really just a way of stating that commitment. And what we're going to do is, going forward, we're going to be doing that every year on this kind of anniversary. And I guess the way to think about it is like renewing your marriage vows. It doesn't change the relationship. If you don't do it, it doesn't stop you being married. And if you do it, you're not married. But it's a way of restating our commitment to one another year by year. So we're going to be encouraging you to do that. And then next week as well, on Membership Sunday, we'll have an opportunity to declare that as we formally, those who are members can say to one another together that we're committed to one another. If you're not a member and you would like to become one, then that's wonderful. We hope that will be the case, and we'll have the great joy of being able to welcome others in. And if that's you, then do come and speak to me. And similarly, if you've got other questions about what's been said or things, then please go and come to speak to me. There'll be an opportunity at Prayer Central on Thursday evening, if you can make that. It's a great chance to be able to come and pray, to put into practice that commitment, isn't it? But be also an opportunity there to ask questions if you have any, so do come along to that. So do please come and speak to me afterwards if you've got any questions about. But we're going to turn to pray now. It's great to be able to do that, isn't it, to turn and pray in response to what we're praying to do.